You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast, episode 180, Tangled the Series. Now that is how you do TV. For more information about this or any other episode of the Animation Addicts Podcast, make sure to check out rotoscopers.com. That's where you can find the community, as well as all the news and reviews of the animation world. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything, and I mean everything in between. We are your hosts. My name is Chelsea Robson.
I'm Morgan Stradling.
And today we have a very, very special guest, Isaac Carlson from Watso Videos. Welcome, Isaac.
Woo! Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here to talk some Tangled the Series today.
Yes. So if you don't know Isaac, where have you been? Isaac's channel, Watso Videos, is the place if you are a Disney animation fan. I mean, he has some of the greatest deep dives and Disney theories and analysis of characters. His videos are super high quality. And so, Isaac, just tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started on your channel. Tell us about who you are.
Sure. So since the age of around 10, 11 in third grade, I've been making videos about movies and making things with action figures. And over the years, I continued to develop those skills. And eventually, at the end of high school, I started posting on a more consistent basis. I'd made the channel years ago, but I decided that I was suddenly going to start posting on a weekly basis. And ever since then, it started to grow. I found my niche with Walt Disney Animation movies specifically, and I've really been able to explore that. And most recently, I've just been able to go full time with this after college, which is super exciting. Woo! And so, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I've been able to talk about a lot of characters, a lot of movies. I love Disney and Disney animation especially. And so Tangled the Series really caught my eye. It's something that I've been talking about on the channel even since the first season, but I've been loving it so much, especially all the way through to the end. And so I'm really excited to be able to chat about it today.
We are too. So in case you don't know, today we are talking about Tangled the Series. If you have not seen Tangled the Series, now would be a pretty good time to hit pause, go get Disney Plus, and then binge the whole thing. Because trust me, guys, once you get started, you will not be able to stop. So I just wanted to give that little spoiler warning for everybody who, but then again, there always are people, and I totally get it. I do this too. You don't really care. You just want to hear people talk about it. And so that is what we are bringing you today. So another thing I want to point out is we just had an interview with the show's executive producer, showrunner, and creator, Chris Sonnenberg. So after this episode, you'll want to go check that out, rotoscopers.com/178. And our patrons actually get 20 minutes of bonus interview questions that we asked him. So if you are a patron, you will get a special podcast RSS feed that not only is ad-free, but it has all of that bonus content for every single episode that we put out. And trust me, I deep dive with him on some amazing questions. So if you are a Tangled the Series fan, you will want to check that out as well. So with all of that housekeeping out of the way, well, there's one more thing that we want to do with Isaac, and we always do this with our new guests. We have a game called Catch and Fire.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Okay, so basically what Catch and Fire is, it's just a bunch of rapid fire questions that we ask so we can get to know you. Mm-hmm. And because you are our resident Disney expert, I mean, all of us are, let's be real. But I'm going to specifically pick a lot of Disney questions for you. So I'm going to say the question. Usually you're picking between one and two things, or I'm asking you your favorite, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just the first thing that comes to your head. Just go. No okay. explanation. There's a lot of times where you're like, but wait, I want to explain. Nope, we're just going so we can just get to know a little bit about you and your Disney preferences. Okay, so are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Well then, how about a quick round of catch and fire? Catch and fire? You mean me? You're the only one with enough courage.
The first animated movie you remember seeing?
Lilo and Stitch.
Favorite cartoon growing up?
Danny Phantom.
Favorite animated movie?
Lilo and Stitch.
Favorite animator or artist?
Ooh. Man. Ruben Aquino.
Classic animation or CGI?
Classic animation.
Favorite animation studio?
Walt Disney Animation.
Then that makes this next question pretty easy. Disney or Pixar?
Disney all the way.
Songs or no songs?
Songs every day.
Disneyland or Disney World?
Disney World.
People or anthropomorphic?
People.
Heroes or villains?
Heroes.
Stitch or Tinkerbell?
Stitch.
Mickey, Goofy, or Donald?
Mickey.
Huey, Dewey, or Louie?
Huey.
Disney princesses or princes?
Princesses.
Not many people say the princess. Okay, who would win in a fight? Frozone or Elsa?
Frozone.
And lastly, the most important question that we ask people, this mm-hmm. really helps us understand who you are. Which would you rather watch? The Return of Jafar or Hunchback 2?
Return of Jafar.
Oh, 52 out of 52. Well done.
So that is Catch and Fire. Now we know a little bit about you. Let's jump in to our main discussion. I am chomping at the bit. I have been talking about this and really promoting it on the podcast for weeks at this point. Let's talk about Tangled the series.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So Tangled the series, guys, you know I have been talking about this and I've been hyping this up on the podcast for a while. This is my new obsession and I am so glad that I came across it. Tangled the series. So So before we talk about it, let's just give you some basic overview about this. The studio is Disney Television Animation. It was on the Disney Channel. The executive producers were Chris Sonnenberg and Shane Prigmore. It released on March 10th, 2017. It ran for 3 years. It just barely ended on March 1st, 2020. And it has 3 seasons with 60 episodes, plus a special made-for-TV movie slash pilot movie episode, which we will talk about, called Tangled Before Ever After. So let's jump into it. So before we start talking about the series, I want to ask Isaac and all of us, how were you first introduced to the series?
For me, what happened was the show had already been going for a few episodes, and I had never really heard of it before. This was kind of in a point where I wasn't super following Disney Channel shows very much. There wasn't a ton of animation that was super interesting to me at the time. Phineas and Ferb was going on, but that was just still kind of happening. And at the same time, my channel was growing and I was focusing more on Disney. And suddenly I found out that there was an exploration of Pascal's backstory in one of the episodes. And so I made a video about that, and I started to kind of watch it from there. And eventually what really hooked me was the season one finale. And like specifically like Ready As I'll Ever Be with that song, I was like totally hooked. I understood what was going on. I loved how everything was connecting. And suddenly I was really invested into what was going to happen. And so that was kind of my introduction to it, was stumbling upon it while researching Tangled and Disney Animation. And so, which is kind of wild as someone who focuses a lot on appreciating Disney Animation, that I had to stumble upon it on wiki pages. But yes, that was my point of view from getting into the series.
That's interesting. That kind of parallels mine. I'm similar to you, where I was not a big Disney Channel watcher. I'm a big Disney fan, but it's just theatrical films. I'm all about Disney theatrical, Disney Animation. But the TV shows and things like that were never really on my radar, even though we cover it on the website. And, you know, it's a big thing for a lot of people. It just was never in my wheelhouse. You only have so much time, right? And there were a few things that really got this on my radar around the same time. And it was just this year. It was in 2020, like as season three was wrapping up. But I came across Laura Price, who's an artist at Disney Television Animation, and I loved her videos about working for Disney, and she kept mentioning, like, I work on Tangled the series, and I kept hearing her just offhandedly mention this. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And she shares some of her backgrounds that she had worked on there. I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. This is really impressive. I'm usually not very taken by backgrounds, but that was something that caught my attention. And then probably about a month later, this clip kind of went viral all over the internet, on Instagram and on Twitter, and it was of this girl with teal hair, and she was singing a song, and she was singing a duet with this other guy, and the music was amazing, and there was this turnaround animation that was just fluid and flawless. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, what did I just watch? What is this show? And so that got it on my radar, and I started looking it up and paying attention. And then finally, I just said, you know what? I have Disney Plus. I don't know what I'm waiting for. Tons of people are talking about this. I need to check it out. So very much similar to you, where, you know, we always knew about it. And then there was a scene specifically tied to a song that kind of threw it over the edge for us, which we will definitely be talking about the songs in this series and why I think that's one of the reasons that makes the series so great. Mm-hmm. So Chelsea, what about you? I mean, I know.
All right. So I vaguely remember seeing some type of something, you know, pictures of Tangled the series, you know, maybe in an advertisement or something somewhere. But because I generally don't go for like Disney Television anymore, because I feel like it's like the
careful what you say.
Well, Chris Sonnenberg talked about this and how he said that the Disney Channel shows are generally geared to the like girls age 8 to like 13 or something like that. And while that's not necessarily a bad thing, it's just something that I'm like, eh. Like, I also don't like when they take, movies and then ruin them with a full fledged TV series. Like, if it's going to be a musical, it better be a good musical, but it never is. So I never look into it. And yeah, and then I do remember seeing this video that Morgan talked about, is because it was on our we put it on our Instagram, and I saw it and I was like, that's pretty cool. Looks pretty good. It sounds pretty good. That looks pretty cool. But even then, I still didn't have the bandwidth, I guess you could say, to like want to go and check it out. And then, as it seems to be the case almost every time I get into something, it's Morgan coming to me and saying, Chelsea, I'm really obsessed with this and I need somebody to talk to. So you have to watch this. And this is literally like has happened over the years multiple times. And I have yet to ever say like, no, Morgan, you are wrong. This was terrible. So I generally go for it. Morgan, if you've read the book, the Tipping Point, I would say Morgan is definitely more of a maven than the as far, like they have the early adopters, the mavens, and then the like everyone else. I generally fall in the everyone else. Morgan's my maven.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So we just move forward with that.
Well, cool.
So yeah, that is how I came across Tangled, the series, aka Rapunzel's Tangled Adventure.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah, that other name.
You know, I asked Chris about this in our interview, and because I was annoyed, it just didn't make sense to me why you would have one title and then switch it up to just this tongue twister of a title that's, let's be real, not hashtag friendly. Not that that's really what they care about, but it, mm-hmm. yeah. So definitely check out the interview on that. He kind of goes into that, but for all intents and purposes, we will refer to it as Tangled the series on this, just mm-hmm. to keep it easy.
Yes.
But yeah. So one thing that I think is really important to note, which again, if you're listening at this point, you know, whether you've seen it or not, you're going to be spoiled, but they have this really cool kickoff movie called Tangled Before Ever After. And I think it does a really great job of introducing the characters and the plot and the mythology, because let's be real, you can't do a Tangled series without classic Rapunzel with her hair. Mm-hmm. They had to kind of come up with a way to get her hair back. And I'm grateful for it, because she's just a very appealing character that way.
It's like when I realized I needed to like stick with the blonde instead of going with my natural, like the blonde just looks better, you know? And I accept that. And I'm like, you know, it's going to just be a bill, but hey, it looks mm-hmm. better.
Isaac's a blonde, so he relates.
Yeah.
Well, the thing for me about Tangled Before Ever After is that it also introduced the idea that this was going to be a show with all the original cast returning, Alan Menken creating music, the original lyricist, I believe it's Glenn Slater. Mm-hmm. So this was a combination of everyone coming together. It doesn't super stand on its own. It really just feels like a normal episode, one of the big tentpole episodes in the series. And honestly, I'm fine with that, looking at it from the whole. And so it was, I think it does a very good job at setting up what's to come. And it, looking back, I don't know if it would have gotten me super excited. Like it doesn't hold a lot of what really makes me love the show, except setting up what's everything that's going to come. And that all of that setup is still important though.
yeah you have to build your foundation before you can go. Mm-hmm. You know what, I think to me what really makes this series stand out, and when I think of series that have kind of a more mass adult appeal, mm-hmm. it's usually where they have these very strong story arcs, that it's not an episodic sort of show where you can just, you know, you can just tune in every single day and it doesn't matter if you've seen it previously or not, but it's going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's what Tangled the series has. So I think of Avatar: The Last Airbender, obviously The Legend of Korra, you know, these shows that, you know, obviously designed, you know, on Nickelodeon and for a younger demographic, because of the nature of the story, it just sucks viewers in from all ages. Mm-hmm. And with this, from the very beginning, they had their playbook on what they wanted to do with this. They knew the start, the middle, and the end, where, and especially Cassandra and her turn was a big part of that. And I think that really made the show very clear episode to episode of where they were going, why the characters are doing something. It's just not like, okay, well, we're on episode 17 of season one. what do we want to do today? And I think that's a big mm-hmm. reason why it has such, you know, staying power and why people get really invested.
Mm-hmm. And they did a good job as well of never really introducing something without it paying off in the future. There's only a few times where they introduce some type of magic or character and not bring them back later. And so even
okay.
you learn quickly that even when things may seem like they're just complete filler, there's always an intention in building the greater story, which I remember mm-hmm. I talked to Ricky Roxburgh, one of the writers of the show, mm-hmm. and the idea of like the Great Expectations episode was just to introduce Varian and to get us more accommodated with Varian so that once he betrayed everyone, that would resonate more with all the audiences who had connected with him through those episodes.
Yeah. I was actually truly annoyed when the whole dragon thing didn't come back at the final end. I was like, that episode was a total waste of time. Like, they could have brought in that dragon. They could have had him, like, you know, take down something, but no, just another Pascal random story. I was like,
yeah,
dang it.
I agree. And that was something definitely disappointing about that episode specifically, was that it
right.
went in a story that felt like we were building to something massive, and it definitely did. It felt like completely disconnected, not building any specific character or lore that was going to be important for what was to come.
That was those first 11 episodes mm-hmm. of season 3.
Mm. So, you know, I binged this very quickly, and mm-hmm. you know, the series has very clear, like I said, you know, beginning, middle, and end. And the beginning is really back at Corona. You know, Rapunzel has this new life and she's adjusting to being a princess and the expectations, and then, you know, building this relationship with her parents, specifically her father, who she hasn't known for 18 years. And it does a really great job of just allowing it to breathe while also moving the story forward. At the end of season 1, you know, we have, you know, Varian and mm-hmm. what happens there. And then season 2, you know, we got to get out of Corona and they're heading to the Dark Kingdom and moving towards what are these black rocks? We got to get the Moonstone. And then more of like kind of the mythology is introduced in season 2. And at the very end of season 2, obviously, you know, Cassandra's betrayal, where she grabs the Moonstone and then she turns into, you know, Moonstone Cassandra with the coolest hair of all time. And then season 3 is kind of like wrapping it up. Like, how are we going to solve this Cassandra problem? Like, is she going to, you know, are we going to have to kill her? I mean, they never actually say that, but you know what I mean? It's like, we got to handle this. But that was very frustrating to me as a viewer, is that it felt like, and I was very invested in Cassandra. I'm definitely team Cass. And so I really resonated with her. Obviously, from that very first Nothing Left to Lose clip that I saw, I'm like, this is a cool character. And so I was really into her. And then season 3, there's just, it's almost as if nothing happened. We like zip on back to Corona. It took us a year to get there, but don't worry, this magical balloon takes us back. and then we're just like back at Corona. And so I would have, that's, you know, I speak very positively about the series, but that's the one thing that I think is just a little frustrating, is like, we only got like 30 seconds of the Cassandra at the end of an episode or two, but I would have liked to have just seen more of her, because it just mm-hmm. felt like, well, we know she's the ultimate end of this, but we can't get there too fast, you know?
Yeah.
We still have to fill up 3 more episodes.
Well, that is a good point, is that there's 2 seasons of build up to her betrayal, mm-hmm. and then it really feels like there's 1 episode, the finale, that resolves it. And mm-hmm. so it's just kind of like this lingering, mm-hmm. like there's no build up to her, or there's build up to it.
There's a little.
But there's not as much build up to her
yeah.
being redeemed as much as there's this like tension between Rapunzel and Cassandra growing,
yes.
especially throughout the second season.
Yeah, there's you know, and I understand they present it in the way where Rapunzel just says, well, yeah, she just doesn't want, she's compartmentalizing it and kind of just pushing it aside. Like, that happened. I don't want to think about it and I can't really process it right now. So I totally get that, because that is true to life, where really traumatic mm-hmm. experiences happen. And sometimes the way that people handle it is they can't talk about it. And that was Cassandra's problem, is that she just never talked about anything. You know, she had all these internal feelings and struggles, but she was never able to really vocalize them. And we even see that in season three in the Handmaiden episode where she kind of disguises herself. And there's multiple times where she's wanting to tell Rapunzel and she's wanting to, and then, you know, Zontiri gets back in her ear and then she wants to tell her. And, you know, so it's kind of frustrating. However, at the same time, I totally relate to that, because how many times do we, you know we have to say something, we just don't really have the guts or the courage, and life would be so much better if we just all talked it out.
Can we just all take So I saw all of these episodes while in quarantine during the wonderful time of 2020 coronavirus. And I'm just like, there were so many things that just reminded me of the situation that I was in from this TV show. And I was like, how in the world did 2 years ago, this show that had nothing to do with what was going on right now, have everything to do with what's going on right now? Like, it was so weird. It was haunting almost. Like, to the point where there was a couple moments, especially at the very beginning, I wrote down several of my thoughts as I went through. And so it's like, I have like moments that I'm like, oh yeah, that, like, what the... and so there's one point, like, right as she's like, I think it's in the movie. And like the movie's set only like 6 months after she's out of the tower. And so it's like not that far away. And she is feeling like her dad's on her back and she's like closed in. And she says, "Why does my world seem so small?" And I'm just thinking, I really don't think that this girl would be saying that right now. Like, after having been in quarantine, anything getting out of my house is like, great. I mean, this is fabulous. Fabulous, like that.
When you have a 500 square foot tower, a whole kingdom to run around is, yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's like, this is great. So there was just so many things. Yeah, it's just funny how there's a lot of elements in this whole series that are like Morgan was talking about, as far as the being able to deal with people. But I'm like, you're looking around and like, there's a lot of PTSD in this family, like a lot of it. And it's just interesting how they were able to take all these grown up themes and throw them into this television show that. And it makes complete sense why they were having such a difficult time finding their audience on the Disney Channel. Because it just wasn't
it was
in
just
there.
too mature almost for six to 12 year olds.
One of my favorite lines, I think season three, but there's this ulterior guard that's in the palace and you have like them like sneaking around trying to find him. And then you have this one like random background sound conversation. And he's like, "I don't know, I've been really into essential oils lately." And I'm just like, I busted up laughing. I was like, there's no way a kid would like laugh at that. But I am dying right now.
I feel like similarly to how Avatar found an audience, Avatar The Last Airbender, I feel like Tangled the series could have found an audience. There was a lot of mismanagement of this show while it was airing. For example, Tangled Before Ever After, that aired, and then like a month after that, the first episode of the show started to air. So things like that was very difficult for people to actually catch it. And once it aired, it didn't like air all weekend as other Disney Channel original movies like did. It just kind of was aired once, and then people just had to know when it was going to start airing again. And that disconnect and that momentum couldn't be built early on. And then the network kind of just slowly gave up on it.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, because that is, I've done a lot of research on this, because it's just really interesting, because in our interview with Chris, he mentions that the executive over the Disney Channel just wanted to do a Tangle series. Like, I don't care what it is. You know, you're going to be our guy essentially, and like, show us what you got. And so he did, you know, they eventually came up with, you know, the characters and the story arc, and they loved it. They greenlit it. And so at one point the channel was just super pumped to do this and all for it. But then very quickly into season one, like you said, it seemed like bad marketing with, you know, you think you would want to follow up your first episode, you know, your movie with the first episode. And but then they didn't do that. They waited. And then they also were switching the time slot around. Like they didn't have, you know, when I have my favorite mm-hmm. shows, I know it's Wednesday at 7 p.m. No questions. And it's usually like that for years. Like occasionally they'll switch a time slot, but it, what do you think it was that made the network just kind of go sour on the show? Because if you look at the Tangled the Series Twitter account and even their Instagram account, like they haven't posted anything really mm-hmm. since like October. Like even they didn't even finish out the season, the final season. They just kind of mm-hmm. like gave up like, eh, here it is. Like go watch, you know, it's really strange to me.
I really don't understand. It seems like it could have lined up so well. Even merchandise was something that was not released in tandem with mm-hmm. the Disney Channel original movie or the series. It came way after it. And it just seemed like as soon as things didn't work out because they didn't plan it very well, they just kind of abandoned it and focused all of their energy onto things that they were already confident creating.
Yeah.
I don't understand why a more serious, entertaining and like star-studded cast is not something that you would want to push more. I feel like it's right. an enigma that is going to ponder fans of the series for a mm-hmm. long, long time. Hopefully it gains momentum on Disney Plus and they'll be able to see some value in building that type of community around a show again. But like after this, where it kind of pitter-pattered along and kind of died, like they don't have a high incentive to make mm-hmm. something like this again. So right. hopefully they'll be able to do this, if not on the Disney Channel, they keep that focused on a much, much more targeted and less diverse audience, that maybe they'll be able to do something like this on Disney Plus. They've done it many times before. Aladdin, Hercules, The Little Mermaid has gotten it those treatments. Aladdin seems like the one that did it the best from the past, but it's kind of baffling that it went on like this.
Yeah, and really, really unfortunate, because I feel like if it just would have got like kind of the proper attention that it deserved, it would have, mm-hmm. It really would have gotten a lot more fans and exposure. And nonetheless, thank goodness for Disney Plus. The third and final season is finally on there. We can all mm-hmm. watch it now. And who knows? We maybe down the line we'll have a big revival, you know, kind of like with Avatar The Last Airbender. It seemed 10 years later, then that was still such a super popular show that they eventually did Legend of Korra. But not going to keep my hopes up, but maybe just a little hope.
That is interesting, though. Like, they wouldn't be able to continue Rapunzel's story necessarily. If they did revive it, it would be a Cassandra story, like her mm-hmm. next yeah. big thing. But Varian, too, like, after, okay, I liked Varian at the beginning. He got dark really fast, and I felt like that was, like, jarring. And because I didn't really explain, like, was he completely under this, like, this tonic that he had, or was he just really ticked off? Like it just felt there was a disconnect. Like, he went really dark really fast, and then he just, like, got over it and was like, meh, whatevs. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened there, but I do like him. I love the voice actor who played him.
Jeremy Jordan.
Yeah. I have an interesting relationship with, I don't personally have any relationship with Jeremy Jordan. Okay,
Chelsea,
let's just start
tea.
Out with that. I do not know him whatsoever at all. But not to say that I wouldn't want to, because his voice is amazing. One of my favorite things was seeing him in Newsies, and then also when he wrote the last 5 years, I believe. At least he was the main actor, but I'm pretty sure he was the one that wrote it. And oh. That show, like, blew my mind. I loved it, and I hated it for so many reasons. But it was just, like, him, is just so talented. I love the fact that they brought him in. He also, random thing, when they were developing the characters for and the read-throughs, The Greatest Showman, he was the Zac Efron character before Zac Efron oh. had time to come in and take over. So you see him in a lot of read-throughs and everything, and I'm like, oh, Jeremy. Anyway, I loved that they had him in there, and I love the fact that they had, like, fantastic singers in this yeah. show. Like, mm-hmm. that was my favorite part of the whole thing. Mad respect to all of them. And I loved how in the interview you did with him, he said that there's just something about having a Broadway star or a Broadway performer, if nothing else, come in on as a voice actor, because they just know how to fill a space. So I really appreciated that, because that is also another thing that I really just, I don't appreciate when they get, when it's just like, eh, like the music is eh, but they did a good job with that and I loved it for it.
Yeah. The music on this is just, you know, equal caliber of the film, which is another reason why I think it is so fantastic. I mean, when I was researching this and I found out, like, are you kidding me? They brought back Alan Menken and Glenn Slater, the original duo from Tangled. That just shows a lot of faith in your series and that you want to invest in this. Now, what ended up happening with whatever, but they saw it through, and the songs that they wrote. And then obviously you pair that with the performances of hiring these Broadway actors really just elevated this beyond a lot of TV shows, and especially, you know, made for TV shows that I've seen. So, you know, people love the songs on this, and like there's Spotify playlists, and I can't tell you how many times I've listened to Nothing Left to Lose or Waiting in the Wings. It's just really, really great stuff.
And just the world building in it with that.
I think it's something similar to how Walt Disney really wanted Snow White to have music, because that was something that was going to actually stick with people long after they saw it in the theater. Is that long after you watch the show, the music can continue to be with you and sit with you, and you're able to continue to consume it. And there's just so much of it. Like there's a lot of good songs in the original Tangled movie, but there's just so much more music that was created by these same people, the same singers. And it kind of baffles my mind that people make like movies and shows, and they have, there's all these Broadway actors and actresses out there. I don't understand why they're not used more. Like, it's incredible that the voice of Lance, for example, is the original genie in Broadway's Aladdin. Like those types of awesome connections are so cool. So yeah, they did a fantastic job with the music, and it's definitely something that keeps me attached to Tangled for me, especially when in between the seasons releasing, was something that continued to have me look back at the show.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, because if you look at, you know, the animation of the 90s for Disney, it wasn't necessarily the big names until, you know, Robin Williams really kind of kicked that off, where now in animation, Disney or not, it is what is the biggest, you know, most on-trend actor that we can get to voice our characters. And I, you know, you can say what you will about that. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. And I feel sometimes movies really are lackluster because they were just going for a name because they thought that would, you know, put butts in seats. But with this, I think because it was a TV series, that they didn't necessarily have the budget per se for these big A-listers that they would if this was to be a sequel. And they needed to fill these characters. And so, you know, Chris was just able to say, like, I'm a Broadway nerd. We're going to have songs. This is who I want to hire. And I'm really grateful for it, because I have been introduced to, like you say, Lance's voice actor, who, you know, came from the Broadway Aladdin musical, which now I'm kind of exploring that. Like, I knew that was a thing and I just never got to go see it. So I never really, but now I'm like, who is this guy? And so it's really opened up my world to a lot of these Broadway actors and actresses. And I mean, talking about Cass, I mean, she, other than Idina Menzel, like, she is Elphaba. She has made a career out of playing Elphaba. She was the stand-in, or the understudy for Idina Menzel when it first debuted, and then she quickly filled in as the number two Elphaba when Idina left. And so, yeah, I can just go on and on about all the incredible voice actors, you know. And in addition to snagging Mandy and Zachary as the leads, which is just great stuff all around. So
it seems like Eden Espinosa always comes after Idina Menzel. There is the Elsa character. She got to have this big booming song. She's in a princess film and she's got all these powers. And it's like, no, Cassandra. Cassandra's got the cool powers. I'm always like, no, trust me. I like her songs. Like, there's so many more Cassandra songs than there are amazing Elsa songs, just by the fact that it's a series alone. But I still go back to the Cassandra songs more. I think her journey is even more compelling, but she's, you know, she's just waiting in the wings, just waiting for her time to get the appreciation at some point. But,
well, there's not a lot of things that we can relate to with Elsa, other than the fact that she like has turned everyone away from her and has been told to like hide whatever powers that she has. But Cassandra is everyone. Like, we all have had waiting in the wings moments. We've all had these moments where we like feel like Cassandra. And I feel like that was, I really like how they build in her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And plus, because it's a TV series, we have more time with her. It's not just, here's an hour and a half. We have to get all of these big moments with our character. So you can really love her and then understand, you know, the decisions that they make. But because it was just little small moments and interactions here and there, and then, you know, bigger episodes that focused on her, that allowed us to really love her. Because you actually didn't like her, right, when you first saw it? I remember you texting me being like, who is this Cassandra girl?
Yeah, no, I didn't like her.
You remember that?
I didn't like her at the beginning. And I was like, who is this girl? Because she's just like a brat. Like, she just has an attitude. And I was like, girlfriend, get off your high horse and go do something. Like, I was not a fan. It wasn't until...
Well, she was waiting.
Right. Well, it wasn't until season two, I think, that where a lot of things started to... You start having a relationship as a viewer with any of this characters.
Yeah.
Once Varian kind of went away, it was... Or, like, went dark. It was just kind of like, wait, what happened? Like, oh, we're going somewhere with this. Okay. So, before that point, you really didn't... I mean, you knew that we were going for the rocks, but it's like... They weren't, you didn't know how the whole change was going to happen. So,
Yeah, the first season is much more set up. Like, it definitely follows the three act structure of setting everything up. It goes through that in a very in-depth way. And like the mystery of the Black Rocks, it's funny because season two and three, suddenly the whole world seems to like open up with Demanitus, Zontiri, finding out about the Moonstone and everything like that. And season one is just dealing with the Black Rocks. What are the Black Rocks? Why did they grow where the Golden Flower was? I remember like season one ending, and that being the conclusion is just knowing that there's this person with the Black Rock sword. Like, I can't, like, it's so hard to describe what it was like, what it was just like. Adira is lingering in the background. What is going on with this? There's, you know, so much speculation about what was going to happen next. And so sitting with like that mystery, and that was just the start of everything opening up. And of course, like, now it feels so foreign to like even talk about the Black Rocks, because it's not the Black Rocks anymore, it's the Moonstone. Right. You're just going for the Moonstone. It's the pairing of the sun drop. It's the other part of the balancing act, to the mystical power from the heavens. Like, now it's no longer the Black Rocks, but
are red rocks and gold rocks and all sorts of rocks, and it's like, doesn't matter about the rocks anymore.
Oh god, the red rocks is a weird thing. It's like, oh, these red rocks are changing everyone's minds. It's tied to your emotions. Oh man, the black rocks are gonna have all these cool pop. No, it's just black
they're
rocks.
Just black. just, and they're sharp. They
you get the ultimate.
Them.
Yeah, you get the final incantation, and it's just you just get full control of them now, not just partial control. So I don't know. That I wish that would have been explored or explained a little bit more. That was another weird point of the magic of Tangled.
Well, we're jumping to my unanswered questions, but it seemed like, you know, they're moving towards these black rocks, and there's the mystery of the black rocks, and then we figure out the Moonstone's able to control it. But correct me if I'm wrong, the black rocks were still around Corona, right, in season three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't just, like, they're all suck there. Back into the earth and disappear. So, I don't know. I just felt like I was still a little confused. But, again, that's probably... They just said, the Black Rocks really weren't the point. The Moonstone was the point. But I just would have liked to have seen more of a resolution with what was, like... how they move, like why they were doing the things that they were doing. Because initially they were pointing her in a direction, kind of, not in season one. In season one, they were just appearing everywhere. And then they were pointing her in direction. And when they got there, I don't know. It just...
So to jump in and explain my point of view on it.
Okay, because I think that's the problem with me having watched the show so quickly is that I missed a lot of things. So that's why I'm glad I have you, because you've analyzed these to death.
Yeah.
Right? And for many more years, you will.
So Demanitus mentions that the Sundrop and the Moonstone want to be united. Mm-hmm. So after many years of the Moonstone sitting idle, it starts sending the Black Rocks out into the world to find the Sundrop so that it can guide the Sundrop back. So the first season is the Black Rocks searching for Rapunzel. And then Rapunzel finally touches the black rocks. And so once they locate the sun drop, then it can guide her. And that's why it starts the pathway to the Dark Kingdom.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. See, thank you. Yeah. I knew all this, but it just kind of gotten lost and muddy along the way. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I wish I would have liked to have seen more of was the Brotherhood. You know, we were talking about Adira for a little bit. Like, those were some cool characters. And Adira's design was just, I mean, why did she have that face paint the way that she did? And, you know, it seemed like there was this brotherhood that was established to protect the world from the Moonstone. And the band kind of breaks up. And at the end of the day, Eugene's dad, you know, he's like left there in the Dark Kingdom. And they, like, their whole lives was to protect this and to save it, you know, from anything happening to it. And someone touches it and, like, no big deal, like, no repercussions. No one seems to really, I don't know. It just felt kind of interesting to me that it, there could have been more, I feel.
Yeah.
But again, maybe it's because I just watched it too fast and I missed it all. Isaac's like, no, you're kind of missing the whole point.
Well, no. I was going to say, like, the Brotherhood, it seems weird, especially knowing that there's a mystical device that can control people that dedicate themselves to the Moonstone. It seems like there should have been more people that were involved in this.
Not just, three or four, right?
Yeah, you got four people that dedicated themselves to protecting the Moonstone, and only one of them remains in the Dark Kingdom. It seems like a weird situation to put themselves in.
Yeah.
But,
yep.
Yeah.
Hey, he's got it. He's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's the king.
It hasn't moved this far, you
he
know.
Forgot about it. It's cool. Myth turned to legend. Legend turned, you know, the whole Lord of the Rings thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The thing about season three that was like the big reveal was the whole Mother Gothel.
Mm-hmm.
And I just gotten to the, almost to the tail end of season two. And that's when Morgan did her interview with Chris. And I was listening to it. And then he just like drops that bomb. And I'm like, what? No.
I gave spoiler warning.
I have to turn this off now. I know, but it was like, I was thinking there wouldn't be like, I didn't think that would have been in there. I had no connection. I didn't feel like that was going to be a thing in there. And so I was like, what?
Yeah.
And so,
It's interesting because there was a lot of people, you know, obviously I've just like, this is from what I've read about the fandom. And I think Isaac can speak more to it, but there were a lot of people in the fandom from the very beginning who were like, no, she's the daughter of Gothel. We know. And then other people like you and me who I didn't even make that connection until it happened.
Dude, the community, often referred to as the Black Rockers, is insane. They are so smart. Partly through season two, people were talking about, oh, she's Mother Gothel's daughter. So I eventually went down that rabbit hole and I brought all my thoughts together and predicted that she was going to be Gothel's daughter. I was fully convinced. Not to toot my own horn.
But why?
Okay,
toot
so
away.
I mean, I'm all about it, but like, how? Like, I didn't. There was nothing in it that to me referenced
not having
Gothel
a mom
at all, and in connection, not having him. Okay, I was the whole time. I was thinking that somehow it was going to be Cassandra and Eugene, like brother and sister. Because they didn't ever get along. They fought like brother and sister. And I was like, and they have that moment in when they're in the jail cell that they're like, oh, well, yeah, I didn't know my parents. Yeah, I didn't know my parents either. Oh, yeah.
We're twins.
And so I was like, right? That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, that was my whole thing when it got there. And then it's like, wait, nobody's related to anyone? What?
Well, I think definitely initially it was just the fan idea of, oh man, she must be tied into this, you know, villain. Then after that, like initial hype around the idea, it's that she has gray eyes, just like Mother Gothel. She has the dark hair. Then you find out that she's 5 years older than Rapunzel. So the timeline lines up. She has the line where she says that she doesn't remember her parents. She's in the jail cell with Eugene and they're talking to each other when Rapunzel's trying to make them bond. She talks about how she never knew who her parents were. She only remembers being raised in the Captain of the Guards. And then it's also, you look at the Challenge of the Brave and you see her pulling away in, when she becomes a bird, she yells at Rapunzel that she's constantly like, you know, getting yanked away. And then in the Zontiri's tree, it's you can really feel the relationship pulling. And then especially in the House of Yesterday is Tomorrow. It feels like something is going on. So there was definitely the trend. You could see the Cassandra pulling away, and there was this perfect timeline and the appearance similarities that it just seemed like everything was lining up, that it was going to be revealed that she was Gothel's daughter. So when it was revealed right at the beginning of season three, it was very, very exciting. That was incredible to see. But even separated from this mystery, people predicted that Eugene was going to be the son of the Dark Kingdom's king. It's called the Dark Prince theory. It was going around. Again, it was saw season three and then found out that people had predicted it. It was insane. People were clamoring for those big ideas.
One thing that did not come to pass was Moonstone Varian. So can you explain to people what that was all about? And you do that first and I have something on it.
Sure. The character Varian has this blue hair streak in his hair. And all along Entangled, there's tons of examples of characters who have changed hair colors, and that ties in to the magic that they have. Rapunzel gets her long blonde hair. Cassandra has her blue hair. There's these examples of you have this one of the mystical entities within you. You get that shown to audiences through your hair. So when people saw that, people assumed, especially once they found out that Varian's father, Kieran, was attached to the Dark Kingdom, that it would somehow play into why he has this very specific blue hair streak. But nothing really came about. It was really just, they just kind of used it as an aesthetic thing.
Which is a total bummer.
It seemed like it could have played into it.
Like, that would have been awesome.
Chris talked about that in our interview. And because of audio issues, the recording went totally blank and silent for about 60 seconds during that part where he was explaining it. So I had to ultimately cut it because it just didn't make sense. But yeah. So all the Varian fans were very disappointed. It could have been a cool, I mean, he said, like, guys, it was just to give him a little like dimension and highlight in his design. Now I remember what he was saying. He was like, there was nothing. It's a cool idea. I wish we would have thought of it, you know, because that could have given someone who had a vested interest in getting the Moonstone. I think if there was some, like, if it's just a little streak, it could have been. Obviously, and I haven't researched the whole theory, but like a little shard of something that kind of like the shard that it, you know, came off of Cassandra, like maybe that could have, you know, just he had a little hint of it in him. And it would have been cool to see a third person or a third entity trying to get the Moonstone either before or after, you know, so it wasn't just so like two-sided. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it was Rapunzel's story and Eugene's story. And then the third component really was Cassandra. And I think a lot of the fans are like, you know, say like Varian's important too, but when they set out doing this story, it was those three characters that were really the story that they wanted to tell. And Varian wasn't even a thought when they first pitched it, you know, he came around later. So yes, they obviously built him out to be way more than he was, and he's an amazing character and love all things about him, but Moonstone Varian was not one that came to pass.
See, I can see that as being a really cool thing because of the characters in the show, he was one of the three that had the biggest character arc. You know, he goes from being just this little like kid who's in love with Cassandra and like trying to show off to now dark and like broody and gonna kill everyone. And then he goes like, oh, I've changed my ways and now I'm good. And it was like the moment of him with Cassandra in Nothing Left to Lose that like he's trying to get her on the path of, you know, coming back as he has already been. Like, so I loved how they set that one up as like, okay, I've been where you are and I know how it goes. Mm-hmm. You can do this, you know, having that a friend in that way. And to have had some even more of a kinship between the two of them would have made it amazing. So dang it. Like, man, that would have been amazing. But I mean, it's fine. It's fine.
So is there any other things with Tangled the series that really stand out to you when you're thinking about this?
I think for me, the biggest takeaway was just seeing the true potential of Disney animation implemented into a more serialized way. I think they did such a good job of doing that. And looking back on it, it's sad to see these characters that you like really became connected to and no longer will get them week to week. Someone who watched them week to week for like 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to move on from that, knowing that there'll never be more Cassandra stuff. There'll definitely be more Rapunzel stuff, I'm sure. But, you know, Cassandra will never be in the Disney parks. You'll never get to meet Cassandra at Disney World or Magic Kingdom. That she's most likely completely gone. Like, and that's a difficult thing to deal with in a world where it seems like characters get to keep coming back a lot.
Yeah.
Like, knowing that Cassandra riding off into the unknown is the last time you'll ever see her, most likely.
Yeah, and Disney is so big on their live action remakes right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a shame because this was an experiment that, from my perspective as a fan, checked off all the right boxes and boxes mm-hmm. that I didn't even know I was looking for in, you know, a Disney animation television series. And, you know, they have all this content that they need to be creating for Disney Plus. And a lot of it is just these live action remakes that are, you know, some are going to go theatrical and some are going to go on Disney Plus. And I'm like, but guys, like Tangled the series was your template of mm-hmm. really how to do this right. So it is a shame. Yeah. And now you're like making me super sad. I'm not going to see Cassandra in the parks. Like,
yeah, that was what was like really bumming me out, especially the week after the finale aired, was just knowing that all these characters, all of these songs were like over. And that's just difficult to deal with. And the thing is, too, is that I know that Disney has had opportunities to reinvent animated films for live action. And sometimes they don't take the opportunities to acknowledge the things that came after them. For example, it would have been really cool in The Lion King 2019 to have a reference to Zira or the children of Zira in that movie, because mm-hmm. to a lot of people, that would have been super cool to tie in that extended story, but they kind of didn't acknowledge it at all, just like the original, because, you know, they weren't thinking about that future story, but it would have been a really cool way to tie things together. So knowing that too, it also just doesn't seem like they're going to keep moving towards that. And again, in like Aladdin, they're not going to go in the direction of necessarily, if there's an Aladdin 2, that they're not mm-hmm. necessarily going to go the same way as the direct-to-video sequels that some people really care about.
I mean, you said Return of Jafar is what you would watch, so right. I mean, I think if they were going to do Aladdin with I think the Aladdin sequel has been greenlit, but just do King of Thieves. I love that storyline. It's good, but you know, they're not calling me asking my opinion, so we'll have to work on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you as far as being able to not just take the original, but also if they were to work in all of the extra bits of storyline just to make it its mm-hmm. own thing, I would have way more appreciated mm-hmm. that. I do have a question though. Would you rather see a Moonstone Cassandra or a post or pre Moonstone Cassandra in the park?
Let's see. I think I would probably I would probably rather have a picture with post Moonstone Cassandra, but I feel like it would be cooler for a lot of people to get to see Moonstone Cassandra, the blue hair and everything. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. I think in the parks, they need to have the non-blue hair Cassandra, just like not too crazy. She can just fit in with everyone else
mm-hmm.
and let the cosplayers go crazy with Moonstone.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly was am so devoted to this. I think I found my Halloween costume and I want it to be her.
Mm-hmm. Hardly
anyone in my circle, I'm pretty sure zero other than Chelsea, will get the reference, but I'm totally okay with that.
I mean, do you do anything for anyone other than me anyway?
True. That is true, Chelsea.
Well, in the Epcot ride Frozen Ever After, Disney does have the ability to acknowledge things that are created outside of the big theatrical movie because they include the Snogies from Frozen Fever. Mm-hmm. And so they do have ways to tie into other aspects of it. So like if there's ever a Tangled ride, just include one little like Moonstone bit or something like that. I'd love to see the legacy of this show continue because of how high quality it was and how much it resonated with the fan base that consumed it.
I would love this to have sort of an Arrested Development sort of take where it was not very well received when it aired and they just kind of ended it. Then after the fact, yeah, and I even remember when Arrested Development aired, I had a cousin who was telling me, like, you got to check out this show. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. And then discovered it a year or two later and mm-hmm. became obsessed with it. And then so did the whole world, especially thanks to DVD at the time. And then it came back and it was revived. And so, again, I have a very small little hope that maybe we can see these characters again someday.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question that I asked Roto Nation, and I'll ask each one of you this as well. But I asked, so Roto Nation, that is our community of patrons who support the podcast, and we appreciate it. And we have a Facebook community where we all get together and we talk and we nerd out, and it's fun. And so the question for the Roto Nation question was, who is your favorite character in Tangled the series and why? Leanne says, Varian is such a full, multifaceted character, so relatable.
I agree with that.
Oh, yeah. And people love him in the communities. And Alex Beavis says, Pascal, love the backstory episode. It seems like so many people absolutely resonate with that episode. And Annie O'Grady, she says, seconded, love Pascal. I almost feel like they did more to develop the character of Pascal in that one episode than Rapunzel over the entire series. Don't get me wrong. I don't have an issue with her portrayal, but she does kind of stay the same. She learns things about her origin and has some intense experiences, but she feels like the same character at the end of the series as she was at the end of the film. Let's talk about that. So I think there is a little truth to that. She does grow as a person and has these experiences, but she's still just the super positive, bubbly, optimistic girl at the end, which is good. Those are great things. Don't lose those ever. But what was her growth in the series?
So in my point of view, let me zoom back a bit. At the end of Tangled, there's this girl that has no life experience, has been completely locked up. Well, she does have some life experience. She battled her very aggressive mother, adopted mother, but she's this person who hasn't experienced much of the world, but is now next in line for a throne. And so what this story is showing is someone who has no idea of what the real world is like, but has this cheery disposition, this bubbliness, and she has to face the darkness of the world and learn how to be a responsible, mature leader. And so I see it as her going from this locked up girl into someone who's destined to become queen and accepting that responsibility and going through and dealing with her backstory and her trauma and her past and all the difficulties that exist out in the world. So that's how I see it. And I don't think that her holding on to her optimism and looking at the bright side is necessarily a bad thing, because I feel like that's intrinsic to her as a person, but it's the how she uses that and handles the situations that she deals with, and that's what changes.
Boom. There we go.
I like how through the whole thing, she was like, everybody just kept making notes that, like, you don't have to, she's not the one that you that needs saving. She's the one that generally is the one that saves everyone else. And I think they did a good job of showing the fact, like, just, you know, not turning this into a damsel in distress thing. I'm not against damsels in distress. I'm also not against, like, dames or the guys in distress, but it's just like, that was a turning point through the whole thing. Like, Eugene always had, he's like, you don't have to take care of her, tells that to her dad. And then as they're leaving on their little adventure, he's like, oh, she doesn't need anybody to take care of her. And he's like, oh, I see what you did there. And then throughout the whole thing, it just becomes a theme of Rapunzel is going to be the one that ends up saving everyone with her hair that completely defies the law of gravity and all things physics. But hey, we don't need to go there. I don't know. Rapunzel, it goes from the fact, yeah, as you're saying, she has nothing to, and everybody's seeing her as being this thing, like, you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything, and yet she's the one that ends up saving everyone.
Yeah, with Rapunzel, you know, I can see how you can say she doesn't necessarily go anywhere, but it's because a lot of these other characters we focus on really have big swings in where they go, where hers is a lot more subtle, as Isaac described it. And it slowly happens and it prepares her ultimately for the wedding and when she'll eventually take the crown. Whereas, you know, we meet Varian and characters like Cassandra and others along the way that, you know, they have, they're evil and then they're better. And then they, you know, learn all these lessons. So very, very cool. All right. Any last thoughts on Tangled the series?
Yeah, I had one that I was interested before you asked, like, what are some things that you got out of this film or out of this series? And it was a combination of this series plus your interview that with him, how he just, I love how Chris said that going into this, he didn't put any, like barriers on himself as far as like coming from TV. Therefore he didn't think that, well, TV's not as good. So we shouldn't, you know, be shooting for the best. We shouldn't have these standards on ourselves. And as we were talking about these things earlier too, like a lot of the time creation is so hung up on the budget when in reality budgets, and when somebody believes in something so much, budgets are very flexible. Like people, if they believe in something, they're willing to do something. They're willing to adjust their own asking prices to be a part of something. And I really appreciated seeing that and how in a creative zone, you really should be focusing on like, let's just make the best product. And if you make the best product, then people will inevitably find it. You know, the right group will find this as the thing that they really like. And even though it didn't find its home, it found its home, but it didn't find its group, its people in its original home. Later on, people are drawn to quality. So I liked hearing that whole side thing because it gave me hope in the creative juices of what is Disney secondary features. So
yeah, ultimately, I'm just really glad and grateful that I was able to stumble upon this. I don't know why it took me so long, but I was introduced to something that I didn't know that I needed that was just really fantastic and blew me away on so many different points. So I think I'm just going to take this into how I would rate it. This is actually the very first television series that we've reviewed on the podcast. We
did do a mini series.
We did a mini series where they're about 6 to 10 episodes, 10 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's true. So this is very rare for us to do an entire series and then review it. But I found this series so unexpectedly charming and high caliber that I was sucked in and I couldn't look away. I just, everything from the animation to the characters to the art direction, the songs, it just was. And then obviously the mythology and the story that they were able to tell. I mean, this could have been done with stick figures and it wouldn't have mattered because the story and the characters and the relationships were so strong and drove the narrative. And so this is one that I am excited to come back to. And just like how Avatar The Last Airbender is now going to be on Netflix, and I'm so pumped to rewatch that. And so for that reason, I am going to give an incredibly, I'm like really stingy with my 5 stars. Like most things are like 4 or 4.5. But I loved everything about this that I'm going to give it 5 stars. 5 out of 5.
Well, okay. There you go.
I would definitely give this a 5 stars. If I was going to give this a rating, it'd be 5 out of 5. I think this is one of the best things that Disney as a company has created, at least in the last 5 years. For me, it's the pinnacle of what Disney can do, especially in a series. I would highly recommend it for anyone who's interested in fantasy stories, Disney, especially if you love Tangled the original, which for me, I wasn't even that captivated by the original Tangled movie. I feel like I love it a lot more because of the series and not the other way around. And so for me, Tangled the series is fantastic. I think it's one of the best things that they've made recently.
High praise right there. I don't know. I think it's because it's like, it's so fresh that I haven't had a lot of time to like, did this in like a week and a half. And so I don't know exactly how I feel. Like, I don't know if I at this moment would give it a 5 star, I think, but as I think about it, and as I think about all of my like thoughts on the whole storyline and how like quality the whole thing is, I think it resonates at like the 4.5 like place right there for me. But I think that's really just because it's so like fresh, I guess. Like it was just a lot to take in over a 2 week period. Yeah, so
it's difficult to measure staying point in your, like, in your mind after only a week.
Yeah, it is. And so it was, yeah. Ask me, Morgan, you can ask me in like a month or so, and I'll let you know if it's moved up.
Well, perfect. Well, thank you. We want to give a huge thank you to Isaac for joining us on this episode. When I got it set in my head that I wanted to do Tangled the series, the first thing that I did was I recruited Chelsea to watch it, because I can't do a podcast alone. I mean, I can, but it's so much more fun with friends. And our other co-host, Mason, he is going to have a baby in the next week, so that wasn't necessarily going to happen. So I'm like, who can we have? And the very first person that came to mind was Isaac, because of his incredible videos on his channel, Watso Videos. So if you have not checked it out, go on YouTube and search Watso Videos. He is one of the top creators on Tangled the series, and his videos are so high quality, and his analysis, not only just on Tangled the series, but for all things Disney. So thank you so much, Isaac. This has been such a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's been really cool to look back and examine Tangled the series as a whole in this discussion. It was a pleasure to be able to come on to the podcast.
So what are you working on now? What's in your future on your channel?
Sure. So right now, after Tangled the series, is DuckTales. DuckTales, nice. The 2017 reboot.
Okay.
It's been a lot of fun to talk about. I just did a video discussion about the entire history of the Donald Duck's family. And so that was a lot of fun. And, you know, moving forward, we've got so many live action remakes and tons of things like that to discuss. But the series, after Tangled the series, have been a lot of fun. And there's a lot of high quality animation that's coming out that ties into what people have cared about in the past. So DuckTales has been a lot of fun, but Lion King, Frozen 2, I've got more discussions about what's come before and what's coming through. Walt Disney animation is what I love, and I love discussing it. So if you'd love to come discuss it with me, of course, the hosts of the show have already sung my praises so much. I very much appreciate it. And so, yeah, definitely come check it out. Thanks for having me today.
Trust me, if you're a listener of our show, his stuff is right in your wheelhouse. He's our brother. He's our Disney animation
brother,
and you will love it. For the show notes and all the links for different interviews and articles and for Isaac's channel that we talked about, go to rotoscopers.com/180 and be sure to tweet about the episode using #AnimationAddicts. And be sure to tag us at Rotoscopers. If you are listening to it, you can tag us on Instagram, share a screenshot of listening to the show. The easiest way to spread the word is just to talk about it on social media. And of course, we'd appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star review. And of course, if you want even more Animation Addicts podcasts, then consider joining our Patreon program, Roto Nation. It is the place if you want even more behind the scenes, exclusive episodes, bonus features, and probably one of the best things is ad-free episodes. So go check it out, rotoscopers.com/patron.
All right, let's listen to some voicemails.
Hi, I'm Melissa, and this is for the Tangle the Series podcast. I love Tangled the series. It's my all-time favorite show. And I just want to talk a bit about Cassandra. She is my all-time favorite Disney character, right up with Anna and Elsa from Frozen's. I love how she's voiced by Eden Espinosa. She brings a vulnerability and a nuance to the character that really brought her to life. And the fact that she got to have these incredible songs by Alan Menken, which I feel is some of his best work for Disney, was just the icing on the cake. I also want to talk a bit about her season 3 story arc with the Moonstone and Gothel. In the fandom, it was kind of polarizing. You either loved it or you didn't. I loved it. I feel like Cass was a character where she had a whole lot of reading between the lines. She didn't say what she truly was going through. You had to just kind of figure it out. And the season 3 arc had a whole lot of that. And I just loved that because it really made her complicated and, for me, real. The fact that she wouldn't say what's bothering her outright and instead would turn to scapegoats, like Gothel abandoning her or Rapunzel pushing her aside rather than flat out saying, I feel worthless. I thought that was so neat and so complicated. I just loved her ending. I was crying happy tears. So, yeah, I've been with you guys since 2013. Thank you.
Melissa, I agree that this was pretty awesome. I mean, like I said, it was hard for me to kind of, all these people, I'm almost sad the fact that I haven't been able to watch this over a long period of time, because it really does have it's hard to really understand where not where your loyalties lie, but kind of just like where you, you feel most connected. the Moonstone Gothel storyline, she says you either love it or you hate it. And I'm like, I really liked it. Now that I know the whole Moonstone variant like side though, I'm like disappointed in it. I'm like, dang it. So many cooler things, like so many levels of cool that could have been added to this if they had only just involved more of the fans. Because the fans generally are the ones that come up with like the coolest storylines. Like, right. Why couldn't we devise that in community? Anyway. Cool.
Yeah, but Chris, from what I can tell and from talking with him, he was very invested in the fandom. You know, he was on Reddit, he was on Twitter, he, you know, answers questions and has done like AMAs. And the interesting thing about a TV series is that you kind of get to get feedback, not necessarily in real time, right. But definitely as it's going and as you're creating future episodes. Another part of the interview that got cut out is how I listened to him in another interview and he was talking about how, you know, the timeline of these is crazy because you're working on like 20 episodes at a time. Mm-hmm. Some are from season one and they're finishing up final animation and like ready to go air. Some are in season two where you're, you know, working on story and getting ready to send it off to do animation. And then some are season three where you're working on the pre-production of early episodes. And so, you know, there's, even though you don't necessarily, you know, you work on an episode, that's the only thing you're working on, it airs, and then you get feedback, and then you start on another one. That's not necessarily how it works. They definitely were very tuned in to what the fans were saying. But at the same time, they weren't so much so where they allowed
production.
The fans to... Yeah, they allowed the fans to choose the narrative. That's... You know, that's never a good thing when you let them steer the ship and do a Game of Thrones. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I definitely feel Game of Thrones kind of headed in that direction in its final season.
Yeah, I never saw it, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. Oh, Kurt. So we have the next one is from Kurt. And every time I hear the name Kurt, I always think of Sound of Music. And he's like, oh,
me
that's
too.
Who I miss. God bless Kurt. So let's hear from you, Kurt.
Hi, this is Kurt. I just want to say thanks for coming back on the air, you guys. I called in a couple times before, and I'm just really grateful for your guys' perspectives on animation, and I'm excited for every episode coming up. I was thinking, like, so Chelsea and Morgan are like peanut butter, you know, they're like great by themselves, but like Mason's like chocolate or honey. I'm not saying Mason's my honey. I'm not saying that. I'm saying like though he makes the podcast even better. You know, peanut butter is great by itself. Chocolate makes it better. And I'm glad all three of you more often than not meet together. And thank you, Mason, for that Donkey Kong 64 DK rap reference. I got it. And it made me laugh. So, yeah, hope to hear from you guys with your next episode. Bye.
Peanut butter and honey. Is there not a better combo? Is that like, you know, we talk about Disney animation. It's very nostalgic. Peanut butter and honey sandwiches, Chelsea. Now that is nostalgia. And that's exactly what you and me and Mason are. We're just this, you know, maybe I'm the peanut butter. You're the banana. He didn't mention
the
banana,
yeah, that's
but
what
like
I
a peanut butter banana honey sandwich.
In there, I was like, chocolate really should have been the banana if I'm going to be throwing in there.
Yeah. And okay. Say, so we're a chocolate honey.
Yeah. Peanut butter is a little bit more.
We're a chocolate peanut butter honey sandwich.
Yeah.
I want one of those
Mason,
right now.
Mason, I would definitely call him the, not the peanut. You're definitely the peanut butter. I would be more of the honey, and Mason's definitely the banana, because banana is like, he's not always in the bite, but he's in there enough that you feel it.
Yeah, I kind of feel that Mason is the honey, because he is,
yeah,
I guess he's sweet, and he really just like amps everything up and makes it that much better, whether it's a peanut butter sandwich or smoothie. People have honey smoothies. I don't know. You know what I'm saying. Kurt said it much better than I. But yes, thank you, Kurt, for the voicemail. And you got to love Mason, because Mason does throw in just references that only a small portion of people are actually going to get, like that Donkey Kong N64 reference, like perfect. And I usually catch a lot of his stuff, but I just giggle. So Mason, like we said, he's going to be off for a few episodes as he's bringing a new baby into the world and their family, which is exciting. And
yay, Mason.
But he will be back.
Hi, Rotoscopers. This is Alex. Just leaving a voicemail for your Tangled, the series episode. I've only seen a couple episodes of it because I don't have cable and I'm just starting to watch it on Disney Plus. But I just thought I'd share a quick story. I was actually at the D23 Expo when they were debuting the Tangled series, and this was one of my favorite panels because they had Mandy Moore, and it was just a hilarious, good time watching the series, and it just made me want to watch more. So I'm really glad it's on Disney Plus right now. So,
Thank you so much for sending in your voicemail, Alex, and for sharing that story about D23. You know, it's really funny, all the different stories and ways that people are introduced to the series, whether it's a commercial or a song or a panel at D23 that just makes you want to learn more and check it out. So I will have to look that one up online. I'll include that in the show notes for anyone who's interested. And of course, if you want to send us a voicemail with your thoughts, be sure to leave us a voicemail at rotoscopers.com/voicemails or give us a call at 406-646-6575. Now I got my eyes open. Right, so our next episode is going to be, Chelsea, are you ready for this? Barbie as the Princess and the Pauper.
We're gonna get so many like hate mail for that.
No, like, I think it kind of has a cult following.
Okay.
And I'm looking at some of the stuff right now. The animation just looks really bad. But this of all, I pulled the patrons. So another perk for being a patron. I said, guys, if we were to do a Barbie film, what is the one that we should do? Should we start with the beginning, the very first one, or is there one that's just better? And so I did a poll and this is what they voted. And actually the reason this initially came onto my radar was because I was on TikTok and there was a song that, you know, was on TikTok and people were doing skits with it. And I was like, what is this from? And I look it up and it's from Barbie as the Princess and the Pauper. So, you know, this film has made it because it's now TikTok famous.
Oh,
that's what
yes.
We're all going for these days.
That's what we're
so get
all
ready and
at.
Send in your voicemails.
I say that just because like we've had like, for example, Luke, was that the guy who last a while back, he sent in a.
Oh, yeah.
Voicemail, and he was just mad because he was just like, all of these great movies that have come out during this whole time, like the last couple of years, and you have to go for Little Mermaid Return to the Sea. What?
Yeah.
And it's like, sorry.
We're waiting for Mason. We're waiting for Mason to come back. So I will let you guys know, we will be doing Spider-Verse in the near future. Let me just pull up what I'm thinking real fast.
Let's tell them once Mason comes back, these are the ones to look forward to. And for the people
who
are
like... So here's
the
upcoming calendar, guys. This as of now, things could switch and change around, but this is what I'm thinking, okay? I want to even it out, so I don't want to do a whole bunch of new movies that came out and a whole bunch of Disney, right? That's why we're mixing it up. So Barbie as the Princess and the Pauper, then Into the Spider-Verse, then Toy Story 4... And then we're kicking it back old school, kind of, to Shrek 2. So that's what I'm thinking for future episodes, just so you guys know. Send in your voicemails for those. Sooner the better, even though those are a few months out. Just wanted to get that on your radar. And of course, if you're a patron, you get to vote on these. They get to help choose the future movies that we do. So
it's a good list. Yeah, it's a good list.
All right. Cool.
Sounds good.
Thanks. Thanks again, Isaac, for joining us. This has been such a treat, such a delight. We will definitely have to have you back on the podcast to talk more Disney animation. And that's all we have today, guys. Until next time,
we are the Rotoscopers.
Lance's voice actor, James Eaglehart? James Monroe. Like, always bad with names.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
Cast, favorite Disney character, up with Anna and Elsa. Anna. I always say Anna, and I will continue to say Anna because, you know what? That is how I say it. There was this one moment where we're watching the movie, and in it, it's like, you've got Eugene where he's like, where are you? And then, I just remember she was, she had left and told Pascal, make sure nobody knows that I'm gone. And so Pascal goes and he like constructs a dummy of her behind a screen and has like the light shining on it. So it just looks like the shadow. And then my sister Marissa looks over. She's like, Pascal's good. I'm like, Yep, he is.
Called Catchin' Fire. Now, Isaac, you're an animation fan, a Disney fan. This is kind of an obscure reference. I'm just going to ask, does that ring a bell in any way, shape, or form?
Ooh. It's not coming to my head right away.
Well, you also have to say it's not technically Disney either. Technically.
Ooh, that makes it even
He's
more
like, still no.
Yeah, that... That doesn't help.
That's
so Catchin' Fire.
Well, it's
go ahead, Chelsea.
Well, maybe if I do the clip right here, it's like, have you ever played a game called Catchin' Fire? Catchin' Fire? Who, me?
Oh man,
you may or may not have gotten that one.
Goodness, I feel like I'm dropping the ball already.
He's like, this is what have I gotten myself into?
It's generally okay. Here's another thing that why you may or may not have ever seen this movie. Morgan and I did this episode as a Morgan and Chelsea episode, which is tend to lean more toward the girly side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's may be why. Have you ever seen the movie A Swan Princess?
No, I haven't. No.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll have to do A Swan Princess, you know, episode introducing you to that. Okay. All right. I'm trying to think how to end it.
The same way we end every episode, Morgan.
Every episode. Yes. Okay.